Good morning, Reverend Steve Morris here. Lovely to have you with me. Thank you so much. Today we're going to be looking at the passage from Matthew 18, 21 to 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times." Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and that all he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Well, it's a very interesting reading. It's a parable. Parables are there. They're one of the Jesus' main way of teaching, of course, and they're there to help you to ask questions. They're stories that provoke further stories and questions. They're there to make people think. And I think this one's an interesting one because it's a corrective, really, isn't it? To last Sunday when we talked about that troublesome passage that didn't quite sound like Jesus. Here, this really does sound like him. And I think there's some big issues here. I mean, forgiveness is one of those enormous issues, personally for us and as a culture. We live, it seems to me at least, in rather a harsh culture where a lot of blame is thrown around at people and people are simply cancelled. You know, they're wiped, as it were, from history. But that's not really sometimes all that positive, is it? I mean, you know, how do we really deal with the issue of forgiveness? All of us have wronged others, and all of us have been wronged. What do we do with it? And it's interesting that the Christian faith and this parable is really quite helpful, I think, in that. Peter comes up and asks how many times he should forgive a brother, or my brother, as he says, when he sins against me. And he offers up the seven as the possible number. I mean, it's quite a lot, isn't it? I mean, I think if you forgave someone seven times, that would be quite a lot. You'd feel that you were doing quite well. It's a good question, isn't it, from Peter? When do we give up, as it were, the forgiving? When do we ever stop that kind of grace-filled life? Of course, Christ doesn't say it seven times. He ups the ante. What about 77 times? That really is an extraordinary amount. And it's very, very hard. It almost seems impossible when you think about it. How could I ever forgive someone 77 times? How could I do that? Christ positions this within his many discussions of what the kingdom of heaven is like. And remember that in the Lord's Prayer, we pray that God's kingdom comes right now, as well as in heaven. So he's talking not just about heaven, and we could talk about that on another day, but he's talking about now. You see, the kingdom of heaven is already here because Christ has been, he's died, he's been resurrected, the Holy Spirit has come. So we're in this great foretaste, this partial view of what heaven is. So it's a call to us right now. And it's a very strong one, isn't it? That God has forgiven us and we must forgive others, however tough that might seem. I wonder what kind of world it would be if we all could live by this. I don't think it would make people take liberties with each other. You know, they know I'm going to be forgiven, therefore I'll go and do it anyway. I think this circle of grace would be completely transforming. Philip Yancey, who you may have come across, writes very movingly, I think, about breaking the chains of ungrace. He looks at where things have been harsh, where people in the church have been harsh in his past, and he says, well, we've got to break the chains of ungrace. We've got to free ourselves. And it seems to me that this is very helpful here. It's not saying that sin isn't important, by the way. It is. It's devastating. But of course, every sin we commit against another, we really commit against God. So we need to bear that in mind too. I've been very touched recently by stories I've heard about forgiveness in extraordinary circumstances. There was a story on the London News about a police officer who had forgiven the man who had shot him. They'd become friends. They'd kind of mentored each other after he came out of prison, this man, after serving more than 20 years. And that both of their lives had been completely turned round. It was most touching, and it was an extremely good example about how not just that forgiveness is possible, but that when we forgive, we somehow free ourselves. We don't carry around with us all that anger and that hurt. Is it though just an aspiration? I don't think it is. It is Jesus telling us it's something we have to do. And so we therefore need to kind of really inhabit it a bit, but also be kind to ourselves. Sometimes it takes ages to forgive, but that's fine. We're all in the process of it. If the servant owed 10,000 talents, some very clever people have worked out that's something like, and if you had to carry the talents, imagine it was converted into coins, it would take 8,600 carriers just to lift the stuff. Whereas, of course, the small amount, that the 100 denarii, that would just fit in your pocket. So it's an interesting point here, isn't it, that the first forgiveness, which is God's forgiveness, is way bigger than any forgiveness that we can offer. The amount that is owed by the servant to the other servant is about 3 months' worth of wages, which is not a great amount. But the others is just dozens and dozens of years of wages. I mean, given that you would earn about 17 talents a year, you've got to do your sums. It's a lot of years to pay off that kind of debt. So, where do we go? Where do we land this? Where do we think about where we might take it next week in our everyday lives? The parable, it seems to me, is quite clear that God has forgiven us. And he's forgiven us the most awful of things, which is the killing of his dear son, who died for us and for all that is wrong, and indeed to affirm all that is right. God has forgiven us. God has forgiven us. And that is a huge, extraordinary cosmic level of forgiveness, as is shown by the sheer amount of money that the first servant owed to his master. That's written off. And it seems to me that this is a call to all of us, and it's a call to me as well, to interrogate my life, to look where there are places where I haven't forgiven, and to go back and to forgive. To forgive because it's the way we get to the kingdom of heaven, and it's what our Jesus asks us, nay, tells us to do. Amen.